EA will be going private in 2027 and will immediately have debt twice as much as their yearly revenue. Plus, Xbox Game Pass has changed their plans and raised prices. Tonight is October 5th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Invasion of the Hogwash. That is right. That is where we are. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a not raising the price edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us here live on the Voice Geeks Network, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But this is a podcast. I do understand that. So you can join us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord is where you can get the link for that, to get the invite into there and talk back during the week, and also put in things that you want us to talk about. Before I get into the show, speaking of some hogwash going on, I am a little off tonight myself, because I think an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago, I got an email from our web host provider saying, hey, VogNetwork.com is the target of a denial of service attack, and it's actually affecting our other customers, so we just took your website offline. And on the Twitch feed, there's stuff on the left and stuff on the bottom that's powered by that website. So I have been spending the past hour hastily learning how to deny access to our web host is like, you should get Cloudflare, which is Cloudflare is actually like, they protect you from these type of things. They're like, you really should get Cloudflare. And I said, well, I can't set that up in an hour and a half. So I had to do some like very, very broad changes to the website and changes to access to portions of the website so we could at least be on the air tonight. So I'm a little off tonight because that threw off my entire rhythm for the evening. So we're going to try to get through this. And then I'll spend the rest of the week trying to figure out what the next steps are for all that. As Jeremy Matt says, nothing like doing network admin stuff on a day off. Well, technically, this is my day on for VOG. This is not for my day job. This is literally for this. It just happened to be when I was planning on getting other things ready for the show. So, the site is up now. There are portions of it that you can't access, portions that nobody really uses. So hopefully the site stays up and they don't take us down again. Hopefully what I did will satisfy them. And hopefully whatever botnet in Singapore is hammering VogNetwork.com, hopefully they get the hint and leave. But we'll see how the rest of this goes, huh? So thank you so much for being here on the Twitch.televisions. That's doing fine. The Discord server's up fine and all that stuff. So thank you so much. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into the news and stop talking about ourselves, because this is a follow-up to something last week, and it is quite interesting. Some of the more details, now that we have the real details. Last week we talked about the rumor of it, and then it actually came out and it decided to happen on Monday. And so I'm reading from an official press release, so I'm not reading any of the editorialized stuff. But it's about Electronic Arts, and it's about that rumored sale that was a very, very trustworthy rumor, and it was actually true. And basically, Electronic Arts announced that it has entered into a definitive agreement to be acquired by an investor consortium comprised of the private investment fund, PIF, which is the Saudi Arabia private investment fund, Silver Lake, which is Jared Kushner's fund that also helps Saudi Arabia, and Affinity Partners in an all-cash transaction. Actually, I think Affinity Partners is Jared Kushner. Anyway. In an all-cash transaction that values EA as at an enterprise value of approximately $55 billion. The transaction positions EA to accelerate innovation and growth to build the future of entertainment. So what they're saying there is we're going to make EA use AI to make things faster. Anyway. Under the terms of the agreement, the consortium will acquire 100% of EA, with the PIF rolling over its existing 10% stake in the company. That's something to know. Saudi Arabia already owned 9.9% of EA. They were the third largest investor in EA today. So this is not Saudi Arabia coming in cold. They already owned one-tenth of the company. EA stockholders will receive $210 per share in cash. This is a 25% premium to EA's unaffected share price of $168 at market close on September 25th, the last fully unaffected trading day, and a premium to EA's unaffected all-time high of $179 at market close on August 14th, 2025. So the share, anybody who has stock in EA, be they stock options that they have vested and exercised or people who bought it on the stock market, they're going to get some cash. PIF, Silver Lake, and Affinity Partners bring deep sector experience, committed capital, and global portfolios with networks across gaming, entertainment, and sports that offer unique possibilities for EA to blend physical and digital experiences, enhance fan engagement, games as a service, and create new growth opportunities. The transaction represents the largest all-cash sponsor take-private investment in history. The largest all-cash sponsor take-private investment in history. With the consortium partnering closely with EA to enable the company to move faster and unlock new opportunities on a global stage. That move faster means use AI. The transaction was approved by EA's board of directors, is expected to close in the first quarter of the financial year 2027, which I don't know when EA's financial year is. But it's and it's subject to customary closing conditions, including receipt of required regulatory approvals and approval by EA stockholders, which obviously they're going to want that cash. Following the close of the transaction, EA's common stock will no longer be listed on any public market. The transaction will be funded. This is actually the real important part. Like, a lot of people are concentrating on the Saudi Arabia part, and I get that. But this is the real part that is going to affect what happens in the first quarter of 2027. The transaction will be funded by a combination of cash from each PIF, Silver Lake, and Affinity Partners, as well as rollover of PIF's existing stake in EA, constituting an equity investment of approximately $36 billion. And $20 billion of debt financing, fully and solely committed by JP Morgan Chase Bank, $18 billion of which is expected to be funded at close. Each of PIF, Silver Lake, and Affinity Partners plan to fund the equity component of the financing entirely from capital under their respective control. Upon completion of the transaction, EA will remain headquartered in Redwood City, California, and continue to be led by Andrew Wilson as CEO. So here's that number that I said there. The $20 billion. That is a very important number, and here's why. To give some context, in fiscal year 2025, EA posted a net revenue of approximately $7.5 billion. So $7.5 billion is how much money EA made in 2025. What the debt financing is, what that is, it's going to be classified as a junk loan. It's going to be a very high interest loan that is accruing a lot of debt. Essentially, what they have done is they have said, we are going to buy you with yourself. And this bank is going to put in $20 billion and you are the collateral. It's like having a mortgage. You buy a house, and if you have a loan, the loan is actually taken out against your house, and you have to pay it off, or, you know, that then things get real. So immediately, a company that has no debt will immediately now have 2.5 times its net revenue per year in debt that the bank is going to want, and there's going to be interest, so that's going to be a much higher number. They're going to go from being profitable to being extremely unprofitable, and this is what a lot of private equity firms do. This is what happened to Toys R Us. This is what happened to Joann's. This is what happened to Golden Corral and a bunch of these other brands in the U.S. where a company bought them, took out a loan on their behalf, and they needed to pay back that loan. And what this means is they can't necessarily raise how much they're selling. Like, they can't control how much people are buying. They can't control how much money is coming in. What they can control is how much money is going out to, let's say, employees or studios or, and you know, basically the operating costs. So in order to get that $7.5 billion higher, it is easier to spend less than it is to make the consumers buy more, because you don't actually control what the consumers do. You control what you do. So what is going to happen pretty much immediately is there's going to be a whole ton of closures. There's going to be a bunch of studio closures. There's going to be a bunch of layoffs. Who those layoffs are going to be, I don't know. But they are probably going to be like, we need to pay off this $20 billion loan as fast as possible. And so they will say, okay, we are going to concentrate on Battlefield, on EAFC, on Madden, and that's it. We're going to concentrate on those, and we need to basically pour all of our money into that. And if you're not working on any of those, then you don't have a place here. Questbuster in our chat room says, the difference between Toys R Us is that EA had a healthy balance sheet coming into this. Toys R Us was already on shaky ground when private equity leveraged them to save the company. As Sharon and Matt says, closures, layoffs, payoffs, and sell-offs. So that is like the one thing that you can kind of look at in terms of, like, I'm a gamer and I love a lot of the stuff that EA has done in the past, is that they could be pressured to sell off licenses and sell off IP because they're not going to be able to afford. It's not going to give them enough to make a dent. There's too much risk in putting out, let's say, a new Command & Conquer. There's too much risk. They could spend all that money on it and people may not flock to it. Or they could just sell the Command & Conquer IP and get that money now and be done with it. And that goes towards paying down that $20 billion loan. Like your Need for Speed, right? I'm actually would be worried most about BioWare. Because Mass Effect and Dragon Age isn't going to move the needle on a $20 billion debt. And you also got to look at, you know, now that Saudi Arabia is going to be mostly funding this, and they do have some say on some things, and there is a lot of LGBT representation in BioWare games that they're not probably going to be that too thrilled with, and so that's not going to happen going forward. I believe a new Mass Effect game is in development. I don't expect it to come out. I don't know, but I think Mass Effect, unfortunately, is a big enough property that does bring in revenue. I don't see EA selling off the Mass Effect brand, but I can absolutely see them kind of canning the Mass Effect that's now and possibly pushing to a let's do a game as a service in the Mass Effect with the Mass Effect property. But also, like, what's going to happen is there's going to be less risk, because that's the thing. When you are in business and you're trying to make a lot of money, you want to minimize risk. And great art takes risks. and they're not going to take risks. They're going to really look at Battlefield, and they're going to look at EAFC, and to a lesser extent, Madden. To a lesser extent is because Madden is huge in America, but it is not huge anywhere else. EAFC is huge everywhere else, which is the old FIFA game. They lost the FIFA license because they were saving money. FIFA wanted too much money. But now FIFA may be back in play. I don't know. They're not going to take that many risks. They're not going to fund and publish games from smaller studios. Do you think a Split Fiction would be published by EA? No, it's not. Not after this. That does not move the needle enough for them to recoup their $20 billion debt that they're going to be in, which, like I said, 2025, they made their revenue was $7.5 billion. So the debt is literally 2.5 times the annual revenue of the company. And they are going to be tasked with paying off that debt as quick as possible. Questbuster says, also what dragged Toys R Us was slowly paying off that debt. For years, they were saddled with this hanging over their head, which prevented them from doing things like modernizing their stores. That money that could have been used spent servicing the debt. I am hoping Mass Effect will reach completion, but I wouldn't be surprised if Veilguard was the last we see in a long, long while. Now, everybody's here is thinking, oh, they're going to get rid of the Madden license. Oh, you think that they're going to give up on Madden? They are not. Madden is one of the biggest, the top-selling games at EA. Like, yes, EAFC is bigger, but Madden is, that is one of the things they're going to fight tooth and nail to keep. Like, they are not going to get rid of the Madden license. This also gives Saudi Arabia an in with the NFL. So, you know, and that's what they're really going for with this, is they are really trying to, basically, this is a 2K game, but Civilization, Saudi Arabia is going for a cultural victory. If you've played Civilization, you know what that means. That's really what they're going for. Instead of being known for their oil, they're going for a cultural victory. That's why they've got their hands in golf. They've got their hands in a bunch of video game companies. They're trying to, you know, get more sports, the soccer world and all that stuff. So this is all going to happen in 2027. So we have a year. You know, who knows what's going to happen? ZenMonkey11 says, what about Sims 5? I don't know. I really don't. I think if Sims 5 comes out in 2026, we may see it. But I don't know how much it's going to come out. They may see that. It really depends. It depends on if it can move the needle to pay down this $20 billion debt. If they don't think Sims 5 can move that needle, they would rather cut their losses, stop paying for Sims 5 development, and pour resources into Battlefield and their tentpole franchises. Some people will think that there was a comment, you know, I hope Mass Effect will reach completion. I believe there are some people that will say that Mass Effect 3 was the end of the series, and there is no more. The story is over. So, you know, they originally were making a new Mass Effect because everybody wanted another Mass Effect. But it's not like there's a dangling end of the story, I don't think. Esther Matt says, my one hope is that when there are layoffs, he put when or if, and I'm putting when. So that's my editorializing. When there are mass layoffs, they treat the employees well and give them proper severance packages. I hope they don't go the soft layoff route that so many tech companies are doing these days. With 2027 being the date everything goes through, there is some time, but not much. I will say that from what I understand, most employees under EA do get stock options, so they are going to get cash. It depends on how many stock options they were given, and what their what their strike price is. Because because I've had to learn about this recently, believe it or not. As old as I am, I've finally gotten stock options for the first time at my employer. But the way it works is that, yes, they say $210 per share. If you're given stock options at a company, that does not mean that they buy your share for $210 and you get $210. No. You have the option to purchase it at whatever price the stock was when you were granted those stock options. So it's not a full 210, but let's say somebody was hired when the stock price was 150. They would have the option to purchase the stock when at a certain time whenever it vested at $150. So then if they get $210 cash, that means $60 because they have to pay $150 to get the 60 to get a 210, which means they make $60. And Ezra Mann also says EA employees can purchase EA stock at 15% discount. So they probably have a different stock option plan than kind of what startups do. There's different stock options plans. There's startups, and then there's companies that are already on NASDAQ and things like that. So the employees will get some cash if they play their cards right and then get to pay capital gains tax on that cash. But still, they'll get some. Who knows? This is what EA has done to a lot of other companies. There's some people out there that are like, oh, it couldn't happen to a better company, you know, where they take in companies and then close them and lay off a lot of things. And now it's going to happen to EA. But if you're wondering why the board approved this, because they have to. In the United States, when you are a publicly traded company, you are required to act in the best interest of the stakeholders, of the shareholders. And somebody coming in and saying, hey, we are going to pay $200 a share and buy your company, and this is, you know, a $60 to $70 profit per share, you're going to be like, absolutely. Like, it would not be in our best interest to say no. So it's happening. It's going to happen in 2027, pending approval. This is not a merger. This is more of an acquisition. So there's probably going to be less regulators looking over it, unlike a Microsoft and an Activision, which some of the things that Microsoft and Activision regulators were worried about, turns out they're coming true, even though Microsoft's like, no, we're not going to do that. As Jeremy Matt says, the board and stakeholders are getting paid. Of course, they're going to say yes to that. Yes, the owners are going to be getting out. They're going to be done. They're going to be like, all right, thank you. You know, we're going to go retire. Anyway, there will be more about this, obviously, in the next year. Just so you know, $20 billion, they're going to be saddled with $20 billion in debt. And right now, they don't have that much debt. And they were making revenue, and they are going to be a very unprofitable company for multiple years while they pay down this debt. And they are going to be they're going to be tasked with using AI a lot. So a lot of the games are going – a lot of their products – I'm going to say products now. A lot of their products are going to be AI-generated products. They are going to be using less people, less humans. They're basically going to not necessarily be making art anymore. They're going to be making a consumer product, and they hope that you will enjoy participating with their consumer product. So let's talk about more scrambling and more bad news in the industry. How about that? So I got an email about this recently because I have built some stuff in this game engine. Now I haven't released anything. You probably have noticed that a lot of games, have gotten patches this week that you may have owned. This is kind of a big deal, and it's, nothing bad has happened yet. Thankfully somebody had come forward and, let Unity know about a vulnerability before anybody else really got to act on it. But Video Games Chronicle reports that a years-old security vulnerability discovered in the game engine Unity has sent developers scrambling to update their games, with some even pulling their titles from sale. On Friday, that's when I got this email, Unity urged game developers to take immediate action to mitigate the vulnerability, which is reportedly present in all versions of Unity games released since 2017. According to Unity, there is no evidence of any exploitation of the vulnerability, nor has there been any impact on users or customers. They say, quote, "We have proactively provided fixes that address the vulnerability, and they are already available to all developers," unquote. Unity's partners have also deployed their own remedies. Microsoft Defender has been updated and will detect and block the vulnerability, while Valve will issue additional protections via its Steam client. The warning has sent developers scrambling to update their games, new and old. Some major titles, including Marvel Snap and Among Us, have already issued patches. However, Obsidian has pulled 4 games from digital stores entirely, including Grounded 2, Avowed, and Pentiment, while it implements updates. at the time of publishing the vulnerability as a common vulnerability scoring system of 7.4 out of a possible 10, which means it is of high severity. According to an analysis of the vulnerability, it says, quote, if an application was built with a version of Unity Editor that had the vulnerable Unity runtime code, then an adversary may be able to execute code on and exfiltrate confidential information from the machine on which the application is running, unquote. So there is a possible backdoor when you are running this code. And as far as they know, nobody has actually been affected by this yet. But no end users. But it is it's something that's been around for a while, and they only just now found it. So they've got some different ways of doing it. And so I read what was from the Video Games Chronicle thing. But like I said, I have a developer account with Unity for some stuff I did at a previous job because it was VR-based, and so I used it on Unity. It doesn't actually affect Quest, by the way. The Meta OS, this vulnerability doesn't exist for Meta OS for whatever reason. Or they've already, like, deployed a fix, so, like, it closes the loophole. So you don't necessarily need to do much there. But there are actually two ways to do it. They actually have what's called a binary patcher, which is going to be great for games and teams that maybe don't have easy access to recompile their old games. Like if it was a game that came out in 2017, that's 8 years ago. They've probably moved on. That team has probably moved on. But there is a binary patcher that will actually patch the binary so you don't need to recompile. They've got some of that tools because it is actually the Unity runtime where this problem is, not necessarily the game code. People don't have to change their code at all to do this. They just need to rebuild from their existing source files, which might be an issue with some development houses, especially if they're no longer around or anything like that. So I don't know what this is going to do for teams and stuff that are no longer around, that maybe released a game in 2017, 2018, then, you know, got laid off, moved on from the game industry. But there are ways that people can patch, or I don't think end users I don't think can patch, but there are ways that they can be patched at a binary level without actually having to go into Unity. So I don't know any more than that. I just saw the email and I'm like, okay, well, I have nothing out there anymore, so I don't need to worry about this. But they have updated their Unity editors all the way going back to 2017, but you have to just load up the version of Unity that you built your game on and then rebuild it and send it out there. But that is easier said than done, especially if it's an 8-year-old title. But also, Unity titles released 6 months ago are also affected by this. ZenMonkey11 says, I make stuff for my VR chat worlds. Can that be affected? So I don't think so. And here's why. The actual bug is in the actual vulnerability is in what is called the Unity runtime. So this is the executable file that you open and you run, and that plays the program. VRChat, now I have never done anything for VRChat Worlds because I don't have enough friends on VRChat, so they don't turn that on for me. But I believe it's more like modding a game where you are putting Unity assets that their runtime at VRChat that they are using and that they are coming in. So you are not actually putting in the Unity runtime in what you are sending to VRChat, be it worlds or avatars or anything of that sort. But VRChat probably is, but they also patch themselves so often, they probably already patched it. So and ZenMonkey11 says, yeah, I don't script, I just add assets. Yeah, so you don't have to worry about the Unity runtime on this. Astronomat says, YYR probably having to fix some of his games, probably. Because, you know, now, like, Windows Defender's going to be like, no, you can't run that. And Steam might be like, you don't run that. You can't run that. So, thankfully, like, Unity does actually have, like, now a versioning structure, where you can actually download the exact version of the Unity editor that your Unity project used. And you can have multiple editions of Unity editor on your machine at once. So you're always working on the right thing, because moving a project up to another version of the Unity editor breaks so much things. So they allow you to open up those editors, and then they actually will update those old branches. So people that were working from like a 2017 branch, they put a hotfix into that editor. So you can just open up that Unity editor. They've got this little launcher, and you actually select what editor you want for each project. And then you can open it up and then recompile. Kudos to the person who was kind of more of a white hat hacker who worked with Unity and explained everything instead of just, you know, releasing it on the dark web so people could have, you know, get your data. They told Unity first and probably got paid. There's probably a bug bounty program or something. And hopefully they got paid. So if you see a whole bunch of patches from games this week, that's why. All right, so the big story this week that a lot of people have been talking about, and it was so hard finding an article that was not editorializing this. Let's talk about Xbox Game Pass. I said, notice I'm saying past tense, I said for a long time Xbox Game Pass was the best value in gaming. Notice I said past tense. So let's talk about what happened. This has nothing to do with any macroeconomic factors of tariffs or anything like that. I can sit there and talk about like console hardware increases and be like, hey, this is kind of what's going on. This has nothing to do with that. This is something a lot different. So The Verge reports that Microsoft is raising the price of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and rebranding some of its Game Pass plans. Starting earlier this week, Game Pass Ultimate will be priced at $30 per month instead of $20. And Microsoft is attempting to justify the price hike with a variety of upgrades across all of its Game Pass tiers. Xbox Game Pass Core is being rebranded to Essential, and the standard plan is now Premium. Dustin Blackwell, Director of Gaming and Platform Communications at Microsoft, says, quote, "What's new for everyone across all three Xbox Game Pass plans is bigger game libraries, including PC games, across each of the plans. There is also unlimited cloud gaming, which is new to Essential and Premium subscribers," unquote. So Ultimate is moving from $20 to $30. Microsoft increased the price of Game Pass Ultimate last year without improving the subscription, but this time is adding a whole bunch of improvements. So, quote, "They will now include access to more than 400 titles, globally, including the majority of our partners who want to continue to bring their future games to Xbox Game Pass," unquote. They added 46 games or 45 games to Xbox to Ultimate just this week, including a Wizard game nobody really should care about, a bunch of Assassin's Creed titles, and a lot more Ubisoft games. And they're also going to have 75 day one releases on Ultimate, which is a 50% increase from the day one titles they provided last year. Ubisoft Plus Classics is now part of Game Pass Ultimate, a perk that provides access to a selection of Ubisoft games across console, PC, and cloud. On November 18th, Fortnite Crew will be a part of Ultimate, which gives subscribers the Fortnite Battle Pass, 1,000 V-Bucks each month, and more. And they said, Blackwell said, quote, not Black Wolf, Blackwell. This is actually, everybody thinks my last name is Blackwell. It's not. This person's last name is actually Blackwell. Quote, "With Fortnite Crew and Ubisoft Plus Classics, those combined add about $28 a month in value to Ultimate subscribers," unquote. So if you are paying for Xbox Game Pass and Fortnite Crew, you can now drop Fortnite Crew and pay less with the new version of Ultimate. Xbox Game Cloud Gaming is also coming out of beta and getting 1440p resolution support and bitrate improvement for certain games on select devices. These cloud improvements are exclusive to Ultimate subscribers. It is also reworking its rewards program. Ultimate subscribers can now earn up to $100 per year, 100,000 points, in the store just by playing games. So Premium is going to be the $15 a month, which is the same as the current standard subscription. It will have a bigger library of games to choose from, so more than 200 games will be available on both Xbox and PC, giving Premium subscribers access to PC games for the first time, including Diablo 4 and the Wizard game nobody cares about. Premium is also getting unlimited cloud access for the first time, so That's not something you need Ultimate for anymore. Premium will also be able to stream titles from the Game Pass library, as well as select titles they own. Premium will not get access to day one launch titles like Ultimate. Microsoft is now making a clear commitment to bring new Xbox published games to the subscription tier within a year of their launch, excluding Call of Duty. But every other Microsoft game will be Microsoft-owned Xbox game will be available. So not Call of Duty. Call of Duty is going to be Ultimate only. Microsoft is also expanding its in-game Game Pass perks down to the premium subscription. So subscribers will get in-game benefits for League of Legends, Call of Duty Warzone, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege X. And premium subscribers will also be able to earn up to $50 a year. And Essential will be the $10 a month. That's the existing core, same as the existing core. We'll have now more than 50 titles instead of 25. You'll also be able to play all of those titles on PC or console. And there's even unlimited cloud access, which was only available at Ultimate before. Essential subscribers will also be able to stream select games they own, as well as access in-game benefits from Riot Games and earn up to $25 a year in the store through Microsoft's rewards program. So there's a lot of talk, and I am going, the main sentiment from people is, I canceled, I'm gone, I'm done with Xbox, I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone. Which is totally valid. Because, and this has nothing to do with anything that I talked about with the hardware increases. This has nothing to do with that. So, you know, we don't have to worry about talking about the current geopolitical climate with this, because that's not what this is about. It sounds like that if you did want to continue playing online, because you do need one of these subscriptions to play online with an Xbox console, if you don't care about the day one titles, you might be actually saving some money by dropping down to a lower tier. Because even premium is $5 less than what Ultimate is today. And you don't get the day one titles, but if you don't care about the day one titles, you'd still get a whole bunch of games from Game Pass, which makes it still a pretty good deal. Or you could just drop down to Essential and then you still get the 50, but you get the cloud streaming and all that stuff. Or you can make a statement, which is totally valid, that I'm done. I'm done with Xbox. Xbox, they're dead to me. I don't need this. Yeah, and Esther and Matt says they were increasing price at $2 increments for the past few years, but this was a big jump, so everyone has sticker shock right now. Got to be honest, they can add 1,000 games, and it's still a big ask to ask gamers in this economy. Yeah. And E3VL says still a best value if, big if, and he did put it in all caps, if they release at least one must-play AAA game every month instead of every 3 to 4 months, and I don't see that happening. Questbuster says, I feel that most people at this point know the prices for subscription per services will inevitably go off, Netflix, but I don't think anyone was expecting Microsoft to rip off the gauze along with the rest of the limb. You've got to make a personal decision, and a lot of people have already made theirs, and that's totally fine. If you're paying month to month, I get it. It turns out I actually, because what I do is I will buy, especially if I get a good deal on those retail cards, I will, like, you can actually stockpile up to 36 months. And so I have like a couple more years of Ultimate, at the old price. I've already paid for it. It's already on my account. So, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be on Ultimate for a bit because, I can't cancel. I've already paid for it. That is something to know though. If you are not wanting to take a moral stand, which if you do, awesome, great. For those of you who don't, go to a retail store. Go to a grocery store, a Walgreens, a CVS, somewhere that sells gift cards. They have already issued a whole bunch of gift cards at the current price, the $20 a month price for Ultimate. They cannot deny you because those gift cards, that money, that subscription basically already exists. You just have to attach it to your account. So they can't recall those cards. So you can go in and buy today either 1 month or 3 month cards of Ultimate. They're straight price, so $20 or it's $60 for a 3 month card. And you can put those codes in and you can go up to 36 months from today. and you can just add them on to your existing subscription. That's what I did. And E3VLVN says GameStop was promoting it. Yes, and that was like GameStop's like, oh, we're being the good guys. But no, that's actually how it works. Like, everybody has them. I picked up some more cards from Kroger, our grocery store down here, because we also get fuel points to, you know, make our gas cheaper if you buy gift cards at Kroger. And, you know, you can do that. If you don't want to make a moral statement by canceling your subscription and saying you're done with Xbox. If you are done with Xbox, you are done with Xbox. Don't bother. Like, but that money has already been spent, essentially. Microsoft has already gotten that money, I believe. Is kind of the way it is. And SRM Math says, places like Costco give a slight discount as well. Costco currently does not have any Xbox cards at all. They don't have wallet cards, and they don't have Game Pass cards. Ask me how I know. It's because I looked at Costco.com a couple days ago. So they do have Nintendo wallet cards, and they do have a discount, so you can get, like, you can buy four $25 cards, Nintendo eShop cards. So it's $100 for $90. You get $10 off. And then they also have PlayStation cards. And I think they even have PlayStation Plus cards, but they don't have any Xbox, something like that. E3VL says, what is Xbox going to do after the 36 months? So the 36 month thing, I'll explain, is a Microsoft subscription. You can only pile up from 36 months from today. That's what you can do. But those cards already exist, and they have already been paid for. So even if you bought the card today, let's say you have an Xbox Ultimate subscription up until October of 2028, you cannot add any more months to your Ultimate subscription, but you have already paid and you've already locked in that price of what you paid. They're not going to charge you more. They can't. But if you bought, like, let's say you bought a 3 month card, you can hold on to that 3 month card. And in 3 months, you can get your little coin, scratch off the thing on the back, and you can put it in, and you will then get 3 more months. But you have to wait 3 months from today, because you can only have the subscription go for 3 years from today. And E3VL says, what are they going to do after they see a huge drop in subscriptions? Well, it's not going to be in 36 months. They're already seeing it, because most people have a month-to-month recurring subscription. Most people are going to see the price increase this month. And so that's why people have been able to cancel. I can't cancel because I've already paid, and so I'm already there until, you know, for a couple of years. So, but the drop in subscriptions that they're going to see are from the people paying month to month. SJR Matt says some regions in South America, I think, are even less. Their max is 13 months. So, yeah. But here it is 36. It's 36 months here in the United States, at least. Argentina, Brazil, and Mexico. Sorry, Mike Deft. And because pricing is a little bit different there, I guess, and it's more volatile there. But you may opt to, instead, if you do want to stay with the Xbox brand, you may opt to no longer have Ultimate. You may opt to go just for Essential, or maybe even Premium, because it sounds like Premium is a little bit closer to what Ultimate is today, if what they say is going to happen is actually going to happen. It's going to be interesting to see what they try to do to entice people back up to Ultimate and what they're going to put in. They claim they're going to bring in a lot more games and, you know, a lot more day one titles. And it's going to be Call of Duty, because notice they excluded Call of Duty from everything underneath. And I believe there was also a story, I didn't read it, but it was in the Discord server, about the Call of Duty titles, like some of the discounts on Call of Duty things being taken away from Ultimate. And I think what probably happened is that Microsoft said, well, too many people bought Game Pass Ultimate instead of buying Call of Duty, so we need to make Game Pass Ultimate more expensive so people instead buy Call of Duty for $80 or $90 or $100 or whatever. Next gentleman says PC Game Pass is a nice deal. I will say that. And I believe PC Game Pass price, like PC Game Pass alone, I believe that stayed the same. I believe they didn't touch that. I'm not positive. I don't have that in front of me, unfortunately. So, you know, and E3 Veil's like, but it increased too. And I'm like, so I don't actually have that number in front of me. One of y'all is going to have to do my work for me. One of y'all in chat. But I believe PC Game Pass, like, itself wasn't touched all that much, but I'm not sure. Esther and Matt says, I extended my sub through next year when they bumped up the price last year. Otherwise, I'd cancel as well. I did turn off recurring payments, which is also a statement in ways. I never had recurring payments on. What they do is, like, if you redeem one of those cards, like, hey, if you turn on recurring payments right now, we'll give you an extra month. And I'm like, nope, turning it off. As Jernomat says, PC Game Pass is now $16.50. It was $12. So I was wrong. It did increase. And it increased a little bit higher than standard. I used to say the Game Pass was the best deal in gaming. Now I'm not so sure because that's $240 a year. But it also really depends. Like, you've got to look at how many of those games did you pay and how much would you have paid if you just bought all those games. And when it was $20 a month, it was easily like, oh yeah, absolutely. Like I absolutely do, you know, or it was $240 a year. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I would play at least one new indie game, that would have been like $20 to $30 on its own. And, you know, yeah, it totally made sense. And then, like, the AAA games, it would be $60, $70 on their own. But now when it's $360 a year, maybe it's cheaper to just buy the games. You'd be spending less money. And Esther and Matt says, if you bought those games, you own them. If you cancel your account, not so much. And here's my thing on that. Here's my take. A lot of those times, I play those games, and then I'm done. Like, I'm okay with not keeping them on my account. If I really liked them that much, I could go buy them, and there's a discount, or Game Pass, at least at the time, had a discount where you could buy them at a discounted rate. But a lot of those games, I'm okay with them not staying in my account because I would never play them again. And Rin Marie even says, if you do support indie devs, don't just play them on Game Pass, buy them outright as well. Which allows them to get the best of both worlds, because they do get a good chunk of change for being on Game Pass, and that's guaranteed revenue. But then also purchasing their game on, you know, on another platform or whatever, that also, you know, that way they get paid twice, which is good for you playing their game. And Esther Man says, Forza Horizon 6, I'll get that physical for sure. And Dark Tosia says, that's what I did with Sea of Stars. Loved it on Game Pass so much, I would have had to physically bought the Switch version. And a lot of people discover games that way through Game Pass. And it's great. And that's why some things, some game developers got a lot of popularity. Mike Def says, I did that with Tunic, game I've never heard of. Played it first on Game Pass, then got the physical Switch version, and then the Steam version, because the Switch version is not that good. Well, at least the Steam version is good. So, coming up next, we usually do a music break. We're not going to do it this week. It is October, so I get to play like all like spooky season stuff during October. But I talked a lot about financial things and stuff. So coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They play games and talk about games for much, much longer than I do. We like to check in with them and see what's going on. Obviously, a big, big week in financial news, obviously. Maybe not so much in gaming, even though some great games did come out recently. Final Fantasy Tactics is out. Like, you know, all that stuff. So we like to check in with them and see what's going on. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. So, Xbox Game Pass, did you cancel?
Not yet, because I was out of town all weekend, so I had some time to sort of stew on it. And I'm kind of not sure what I'm going to do. I'm definitely not keeping it at its current level. I'm deciding if I'm going to downgrade or just get rid of it outright. And right now I'm kind of leaning towards getting rid of it outright. As much as I enjoy exploring games on that service and doing that sort of thing, I sort of wonder right now if my money isn't better spent doing that on PlayStation service, quite frankly. And that's probably not the conundrum Microsoft was wanting to put on its player base. But I think there's been a lot of really poor forethought with where they've kind of led a lot of this and where we're at today. So it is what it is. So I may take that Microsoft money and just reinvest it in PlayStation. We'll see. Although some have argued Sony's probably going to make a pretty similar move as they usually do pretty soon. We'll see. We'll see. But I don't know. There's a part of me that feels this particular situation is unique to Microsoft.
Yeah. So I'm like I said, I'm keeping it for right now because I also stockpile, and so I'm gonna have Ultimate for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, I wish I'd had the foresight to stock up on a couple of years, but you know, it's that can also be a pricey move, and you know, so you have to kind of give that a lot of thought. Yeah. So yeah.
But I do not have recurring billing on, so I have not decided what will happen at that point. But I also have to like think, I'm like, how often do I actually play online? Like I play Forza Horizon, but like I never play Forza Horizon online with anybody else at the same time. As much as we're like, we should have a game night, and we never do. And part of that's my fault.
Yeah, the timing's been very bad. And honestly, a lot of those games end up being Nintendo games, I feel like.
Yeah.
So because Nintendo is a connoisseur of, you know, a great party games. So, yeah, I'm not so sure I need an Xbox Gold account at this point, which is a bummer because I guess I had like the, what is it, like 20-year symbol?
I was in the beta. I have been in an Xbox Live customer since literally the beta. And I have that like little, you know, like 20 something year uninterrupted stuff, which is why like I probably would just go down to the essential tier. If I, you know, that's probably what I would do is go down to that tier and say, yeah, I don't need all the games, you know, all the subscription service games.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And at this point, it's kind of like, well, what about Forza, which I feel like is the one big Microsoft franchise I'm still into. But Microsoft's created an interesting situation where maybe I'll just get that on PlayStation, to be quite honest. If that is a day one PlayStation game, I may just get Forza on PlayStation at this point.
And even I was going to get it on Xbox, but I was going to buy the $100. Like, that's the one game that I buy, the $100 pre-order, give me all the expansions, like, let me just pay it outright. So I never needed Game Pass for that, but you need Game Pass to play it online on Xbox.
Yeah.
Which you would only need PlayStation Plus Essential or whatever to play it online on PlayStation.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out, really. It seems like a lot of people are already canceling their Xbox accounts. Yep. Will it be enough to cause movement like what happened when people started canceling Disney Plus? We'll see. I kind of feel like it's too late. I don't feel like the gaming decisions can reverse course this easily, especially one that is so rooted in money-making types of decisions because, you know, Microsoft is still a publicly traded company at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they can go back on this. I think they probably should have laid the groundwork to do this a lot sooner and done it a lot differently, which tells me this is more of a last-minute pivot, which is still a sign of bad foresight, which, you know, as much as I've had nice things to say about Phil Spencer in the past, I'm running short these last couple years. It may be time for a changing of the guard at Microsoft, quite frankly.
And this is exactly what a whole bunch of regulators with the Microsoft and Activision merger, this was exactly the kind of stuff they were warning about. And Microsoft was like, we're not going to do that. No.
And there's an element of that I agree with and an element of that I don't agree with. And what I don't agree with is that it in some ways none of that mattered because of the active toxicity that the work culture that Bobby Kotick was and his board was setting at Activision. That was an active poison within the gaming community that needed to be dealt with. And that was an arm worth cutting off at any cost. Unfortunately, now we're just seeing the results of said cost. Yeah. But was it worth it to get Bobby Kotick Niantic out of this industry? Yes. Should it have been his golden parachute that got taken instead of our Xbox Game Pass memberships going up? Absolutely. But you can still vote with your wallet.
Yep. And EA in 2027 going to have $20 billion in debt that they're going to have to pay off?
I don't know what's to get excited about in AAA gaming these days, quite frankly.
There's not much. And Rock Band 4 is going away.
Like, you know, that's a 10-year license. That's no one's fault, that's the license agreements. That's on the music industry. But that's, you know. And Rock Band 5 still exists in Fortnite, I guess. So, you know, if there's one thing about Game Pass, if you're still in Fortnite, hey, good for you. But I would say, you know, with...
AAA gaming.
With the AAA stuff and sorry, my brain is fried after a drive to LA and back this weekend. We were talking about...
There's not that much to be excited about with AAA gaming, so I think it would be more the indie side that we care about at this point.
Yes, there's that, but I had another point. It was, the EA thing and Mass. I think it's almost certain what you're talking about there, that the, you know, the Mass Effects and that stuff are likely going away, and the best thing you can hope for is a buyer in that sort of situation. So, it's really unfortunate, you know, between this and everything crappy that's happening at Microsoft, everything that's continued to be crappy at Ubisoft, it's kind of hard to be a fan of AAA gaming now, and that's... It's a really weird place to be.
Yep. What else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
Let's talk about some good things. What the modding and hacking community do. So one of the big things that's in the news this week is that brand new Lego Game Boy. And of course, leave it to the modders, the hackers, the crackers, the people that break things down. They have made the Lego Game Boy actually playable. So we'll talk a little bit about how that all works out and kind of question how many of you might jump in on that later on.
Be better than trying to put those damn stickers on, that's for sure. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly, or you can join our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord will get you the link in, and you can suggest topics or talk back about anything we talked about this week. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this happen without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. New follows, subscriptions. Thank you so much. We did get a new follow tonight. Thank you so much for that follow. And thank you so much for checking out what we're doing here. So that is it for me. I am going to go ahead and hit the button so we get out of here. And I will see you next week. And man, wouldn't it be great if I had better news to talk about? Wouldn't that be great? I'd love that. Anyway, see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.